ജയം ശ്രീപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സദശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം. ത്രിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണു വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര സദശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമയ്ക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമയ്ക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമാമി ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലി ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാനന്ദ സ്വാമി ദിനാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാട് തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ നാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിതകൈതപോത്രപരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യദേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോരസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി നന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ആനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂകുണിദാദ്രദാനനെന്തോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലി ശ്രീമതീ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ടശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീ ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So last Sunday when we were discussing the Srimad Bhagavatam Ekadasha Skandam 19th chapter, we've seen before in the 13th chapter Krishna talks about a person who is advancing in the path of self-realization. He mentions there, drishtim tada pradanivritya nivritta tishna tushnim bhaved nija sukhana bhavo niriha, isn't it? Krishna is saying drishtim tada pradanivritya. Drishtim tada pradanivritya means he has taken his attention away from the world. World is not important anymore. Drishtim tada pradanivritya nivritta tishna. Nivritta tishna means freedom from desires. All desires he has given up, and all attention in the world has gone. Tushnim bhaved nija sukhani bhavo niriha. In other words, he is absorbed in the soul, the Krishna who is present within the heart. That is where his attention is. And simply by withdrawing from the world itself, practically the mind becomes in shanti. Mind comes to a state where it is in a peaceful state. That is why it is mentioned here that nija sukhani bhavo niriha. In order to experience the soul, there is no need for any sadhana. Sadhana is not necessary. Sadhana is not necessary. Or any kind of technique or method, any such thing. And if you can take it more or less, that if you are thinking in terms of these techniques and methods and all that, is this coming from the science and the industry? That's where we have learned this, techniques and methods. And we try to do the same thing. If you do that, you will experience not the soul, but you will experience the technique or the method. So, practically you can see, when there is a freedom from the false ego, the ego hangaram inside, that is what is actually the blocking of the experience of the soul. So, when that false ego leaves us and all our efforts stops to acquire self-realization, and when it comes to the point, mind also becomes steady. Steady in the sense there is no more fluctuations in the mind, movement of the mind anymore, and without giving any importance to the movement of the mind, and without giving any importance to our pride or ego, or without allowing the intelligence to fluctuate or to stopping its oscillations, and completely giving up that individuality. If we are willing to do that, then we will experience there, our experience will be complete in Purnam, Purnatvam, as Krishna says here. So that Purnatvam, it's also referred to as Akhandatvam, uninterrupted experience of the soul, is not something that you can acquire by work, by effort. That is already there. The very nature of the soul is like that. And you can also, you can see karmam. If you remember when we discussed karma yogam, what is karma means? There are four ways karmam is performed here. Samskaryam, Ulpadyam, Arpyam. Mainly samskaryam, that something that has to be purified. That is a process, samskaranam or samskaryam. Or it is not something you have to go and get something from somewhere. That is prapyam. And also sadhana anushtanam, that by doing karmam, it won't happen. Karmam is not the answer to the problem. Simply we misunderstand karmam, karmam, karmam is going to solve all the problems. Karmam won't solve any problem. Karmam actually binds everyone in this world. So the process is, Krishna mentions here, that knowing very well our pure identity, what we are, then we could do what we want after that. But no, after knowing what our realization, what the self is, whatever sadhana we perform, anushtanam it is referred to, or nishta, whatever way it is addressed as, that should be performed in a disciplined way, in the field of upadhi. We need all that. You see, the soul is completely independent of all these things. In the field of upadhi, that means so long as you have a material body, mind, intelligence, ego, you need all sadhana. Sadhana is needed. And sadhana is only to bring discipline to these upadhis, to bring discipline into upadhi. The real identity, the soul, does not require any of these things. Avidya, ajnanam inside, in order that to go, sadhana is required. Because it is through sadhana we break through the barriers of these upadhis. Upadhi has different barriers, isn't it? Mind has its own barrier, and body has its own barrier, gross body. Intelligence has its barrier, ego has its own barrier. To break through all that, sadhana is necessary. But soul doesn't require any of these things or even the sadhana. By very nature itself, that is why these definitions of the soul, Sachidananda Rupoham, Aham Evaham Avyayam, I am Satya Chitta Anandam. If I am Satya Chitta Anandam, that is my very identity or nature. It does not require any kind of effort from anywhere. Only thing is you have to allow that to come out. So, that sadhana stage is the first stage. But inside we have to know that by my effort, by my cleverness, nothing is going to happen. By my cleverness, nothing is going to happen. It is a big, gross misunderstanding among many people that it is by their sadhana that they are going to get it. That is again the platform of ego inside. It is not going to happen through the sadhana. And if we know that, we have practically crossed a big barrier ourselves. That this certain strong concepts in our mind, that it is through effort that I am going to get it. It is through karma I am going to get it. All these things has to go away in order to understand, in order to experience that soul. That is what Krishna is saying in this chapter. It is a deeper understanding. Initially it won't be there, because when anyone comes to spiritual life, he starts with the sadhana, isn't it? He starts with the sadhana and then he starts thinking, it is the sadhana that is taking me there. Sadhana is only to free ourselves from the upadhi. Upadhi means these faces which is actually controlling us, like the body, the mind, intelligence, ego and everything. To free ourselves from the upadhi, we require sadhana. There is no question about that. Sadhana is necessary. But to think that I am doing sadhana, therefore the result is coming, that's the greatest blunder. That is the greatest blunder. So, strictly speaking, that Krishna whom we are inquiring after, he is right inside there, inside all of us, in a very deeper level, beyond the deep sleep and the mind. Beyond the deep sleep and the mind. Sushupti state as well as the mind. And he is always there. It is only in the deep sleep state that we have some experience of Krishna's presence inside. Although he is present there all the time. And he is shining in that state. It is impossible for him not to express his presence within us. It's impossible for the soul not to express his presence within us, because it is only because of the presence of the soul the sun is shining, the moon is shining, the stars are shining, everything is functioning. It's because of the soul. So, similarly, just like the sun, moon and the stars, they are all present and they are all, the light is exhibited from them due to the presence of the soul. Similarly, due to the presence of the soul within us, it's always saying ahamasmi, ahamasmi inside, that his presence which manifests in us in the form of awareness, bodham, avabodham in other words. Through the sun and the moon and the stars, it manifests in the form of light. Through the human body, it manifests in the form of awareness. So, it is all due to the presence of the soul. Everything is happening. That is why Upanishads are saying here that this astitvam, astitvam means our existence, very awareness or consciousness, and that experience itself is, and that is in the Upanishads calls us Chitpada Lakshyartham. It is referred to as Chitpadam Lakshyartham. In the Upanishads they say like that, Chitpada Lakshyartham. So, here, and that permanent thing, what is experienced in the form, in the yoga language, particularly the yogis who are practicing the Ashtanga Yogam, they have a different way of experiencing this. They say here, that chit shakti, chidi tatpada lakshyatam. In the Shastram, the word used is chit shakti. Chit shakti is that presence or awareness that brings in us, isn't it? Satta chitta anandam, out of the three, it is due to the presence of that chit potency that we are awareness of existence comes to us. Eternity, blissfulness, and knowledge, isn't it? So, eternity is sat potency. And knowledge, blissfulness is anandam potency of the blissfulness. And chitta, the satta chitta anandam, eternal, blissful and knowledge. Knowledge is that chit shakti. So from chit shakti comes this awareness. From chit shakti comes this awareness. That is why chit potency is given importance. Without chit shakti we won't know anything. What's going on? The awareness won't be there. Who we are, what we are. All awareness is coming from that chit shakti. So, and talpada lakshyartham, it says that that experience of the awareness is the what is known as talpada lakshyartham. Talpada lakshyartham means in the Lalita Sahasranamam, which is a very famous prayers to that chit shakti. Lalita is the chit shakti. She is addressed in different names, that's all. We get confused, we say, oh no, it's Radharani, no, somebody says Sita Devi, somebody says somebody else. It's not all different names we have given. Shakti is the same. The potency is the same, which is addressed as Radharani, which is addressed as Sita Devi, which is addressed as Sri Parvati, Lalita. All these names are coming from that same, addressing the same energy. Chit Shakti, addressing the same energy, Chit Shakti. So, Svalpananda Levi Bhuda, Brahma Dhyananda Santadi, Chiti Talpada Lakshyartam Chidegas Rasarubini. If you read Lalita Sahasranam, you will see there
is full of the language of the yogis, Ashtanga yogis language. And it's a famous prayer, and it says there, Chiti talpada lakshyartham chidega rasarubini swalpa ananda levi bhudam brahmad ananda sandadim. That is how all yoga language, completely yoga language, Chiti talpada lakshyartham chidega rasarubini swalpa ananda levi bhudam brahmad ananda sandadim. In other words, talpada lakshyartham means the sound itself is Brahmavachi. Brahmavachi means addressing to Brahman, addressing the Brahman. And in leaving that word Brahman, complete awareness, uninterrupted awareness. That is the beauty of that word, Chiti, Talpada Lakshyartham. That means, complete awareness means there is no time when we are not conscious of our own existence, isn't it? Right from the day we were in this body, we know, ever since you entered into this body, till you leave this body, the only thing what you can say, certainly, all time, is this awareness of your own existence, isn't it? Once that's gone, then you don't exist anymore. It is through that awareness, you have all the consciousness of this world, awareness of the presence of the world, awareness of other living entities. Awareness is the factor behind it, bodham, avabodham, it is addressed as. And that avabodham, or the realization that you exist, astitvam, your own existence, or your own presence in this awareness of this bodham, consciousness, that is the chiti talpada lakshyartham, what is mentioned here. Chiti talpada lakshyartham chideka rasarubini, and that comes from the chit shakti. That comes from the chit shakti. So, swalpananda levi bhudam. And what is important about Swalpa Ananda Levi Bhudam? When one is absorbed in that experience of that Shish Shakti, everything else, Levam. Levam means it becomes very insignificant. Everything else becomes very insignificant. At the moment, what's happening is we are experiencing the external world through sense objects, through the senses and the mind. This is our current existence, is it not? Through sense object, through the mind and the senses, we experience the sense objects throughout the day. Throughout the day. There is no time when we experience that chit shakti in any form. Krishna, in the Lalasasavam says here, that swalpa ananda levi bhudam, everything becomes very insignificant when we start experiencing the chit shakti. Brahmadi Ananda Santatihi. From Lord Brahma onwards, everybody, Brahma onwards, everyone, their blissful experience also, their position, power, that all becomes very insignificant compared to this Chit Shakti. Compared to this Chit Shakti. And when you look inward, Swalpananda Levi Bhudam, Swalpananda Levi Bhudam, Brahmadi Ananda Santatim. It says, so this same chit shakti inside, that is what one looks into when he takes his attention away from the world. And therefore the word used in the Srimad Bhagavatam is pratyak. The word used is pratyak. Pratyak means one who is inside, staying there as a witness of everything. Sakshi. Witness of a sakshi. And sakshi and he is permanently there. As Chit Shakti, Nitya Siddham. And that Purnatum. Why it's called Purnatum means he is complete all the time. Purnatum. And that Chit Shakti is what is present and operating in Krishna, Ramchandra, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sukadeva Goswami, and everyone. That's a difference in from their position and our situation. We are operating in this world through mind, senses, sense objects. This is our world. Their world is Chit Shakti. Their world is Chit Shakti. Krishna is completely in that Chit potency. So therefore, everything what Krishna does is different than ours. Vedavyasa Maharshi, similarly, Sukadeva Goswami. And that is the instruction, that is the advice Krishna is giving to Uddhava here. Krishna says to him, then That is what is in real existence. That is the reality. That Chit Shakti is the reality. And Krishna says to Uddhava, you, me, and everybody, that's all what exists in this creation. And the very nature of that Chit Shakti is Ananda, blissfulness. Ananda or blissfulness. Upanishads and these famous prayers, they are more concerned about the spiritual aspects of life. We are absorbed in the body, and so long as our absorption in the body is to a very high degree, we won't find any attraction to all this understanding of the soul. It won't be attractive to us. Because we only know one thing, how to send the mind through the senses to the world and enjoy the senses and experience the senses, and we feel that that is the happiness in life. But Chit Shakti, which is the internal potency, which is addressed as Brahma Vidya, Sita Devi is addressed as Brahma Vidya, Radharani is addressed as Chit potency, Chit Shakti. So Sri Parvati is addressed as Lalita Devi here in the Lalita Sahasranamam as that potency of the yogis which they try to cultivate inside, that knowledge of the soul, in other words. So, and that is cannot be created with the mind. Mind cannot help you there. Mind can help you to evaluate things in this world, to experience the sense objects and things like that. But as far as Chit Shakti is concerned, mind has mind has nothing to do there, anything with it. So, why? Because mind cannot create it, and therefore it's not a created thing. It's not a created thing. It's already there. Like the soul is present inside, this thing is also present there inside. The Chit Shakti is present there. Therefore, it's not difficult to say anything about it. What actually depends is when you accept it. That is the only question. Chit Shakti is already present inside, as long as the soul is present inside. With the soul, Chit Shakti is also present. And with the help of the mind, you cannot get to know about the Chit potency. It is not possible. It is not possible to get to know the Chit potency through the mind. It's not something to be created or to be brought up, because it's already there. The very nature of the soul is this eternal blissful knowledge nature. And even the mind, everything depends on when you are going to accept it. When you are going to accept it. If you delay accepting that, if you feel that it is finding it difficult to completely accept that as a reality, that is where Shravana, Manana, Nidhyasanam comes. The three processes. Shravanam is the hearing process, and continuously you have to churn inside this knowledge of the soul, nature of the soul. And just like a matchbox, when you sometimes in the rainy season, matchbox won't light, isn't it? So what you do? You keep on rubbing it. One day it will light. Sometimes after some time rubbing it, the matchstick will suddenly catch the fire. Similarly, if you keep on discussing about this eternity of the soul, the blissful nature of the soul, and the topics related to the soul from the Upanishads, specifically also from Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, one day it will catch fire. It will catch fire. So, sometimes people say that why doesn't it catch fire in the first instance? That cannot be done. Some people, it may catch early, the fire. For some people, it may take a little longer. It depends on how long one is willing to continue that rubbing the matchstick towards the matchbox in the same way. But suddenly, that spark will come. The spark has to come. Because the reason why it is spoken so strongly that the spark will come, what is the guarantee for that? The guarantee is that for the spark to develop, all what is necessary is already there inside. It's not something that has to come from outside. All the thing what is necessary for the spiritual knowledge to develop in a person is already packed up inside the person. It's not something that is going to come from outside. outside. So, and it is only due to the presence of that Chit Shakti you are able to hear even. Just like you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, you are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. How are we able to hear that? How are we able to speak about it? How are we able to hear about this? Due to the presence of that Chit potency inside. Otherwise you can't hear. You can't hear. It is that Chit Shakti that is giving the energy for all the senses to function, the mind to function, the intelligence to function. Everything is drawing its ability or capacity to function from the Chit Shakti. So because therefore, as it has to be understood that the very Chit Shakti who is inside, which is an aspect of the soul, it is due to the and it is the power of that Chit Shakti that is making you to hear. If it is making you to hear, it should have the capacity to make you to take it on board as well. That is the understanding in the Upanishad. The rishis have in depth they have analyzed these things, the Shravanam process. Hearing process is like that. That you are hearing something, you need never think about it, how I am able to hear something. We don't think about it, isn't it? We think that, oh, I've got my ears, so I'm hearing. No, ears are not hearing. Mind is not hearing. It is the presence of the soul that's allowing the mind and the ears to function and able to hear. And because the soul is present inside and the soul has got this Chit Shakti inside, the very soul which is allowing you to hear and to perform your contemplation on that through mananam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means after hearing something and after reflection, if you have accepted the truth, if you have accepted the truth, continuous experience of that is nididhyasanam. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam is a part of jnanamargam. Without that you can't practice jnanam. Jnanamargam is practiced like that. That in the jnanam process, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. These are the important things. Through hearing and through reflection and then contemplation, one comes to a state where one has directly started acceptance inside, has become strong, and he has some realizations, but able to stay in that state all the time, that is nididhyasanam. Continuous experience of the truth, of the reality. So, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, that if you are able to hear something, and if you are able to perform shravanam, hearing, mananam, reflection, and able to experience this nididhyasanam, that very same power inside will also give you the experience of it one day. That has to be understood, accepted that way. There is no question. It is not happening to us at the moment, that's another thing. But the principle what Krishna has spoken, we can't refute that. It's not something that's going to come from outside, that's the point. Anything experience of the spiritual life is experience from inside, not from outside. Outside agencies have anything to do with it. So that is why Krishna is saying here in that last chapter, if you remember, I'm talking about the 18th chapter, when we talked about the Varnashrama Dharma. Krishna mentions there that the in the previous Krishna finishes there Varnashrama Dharma. In that chapter, Krishna finishes Varnashrama Dharma and gets into this gets into the if we look into the 18th chapter of the Ekadasha Skandam, there after spoken about Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna mentions there at the end that through Shravanam it is possible, Krishna says there, isn't it? Through Shravanam, it is possible. In that 18th chapter, Tavad Parijare, verse 39, Krishna says, Tavad Parijare Bhaktaha Shraddhavanana Suyagaha യാവൽബ്രഹ്മ വിജാനീയം മാമേവ ഗുരുമാതൃത യസ്തു സംയത ഷഡ്വർഗം പ്രചണ്ഡേന്ദ്രിയസാരഥി ജ്ഞാനവൈരാഗ്യരഹിതം ത്രിദണ്ഡം ഉപജീവതി സുരാനാത്മാനമാത്മസ്ഥം നിന്നുതേ മാം ച ധർമ്മ അവിവക്വ കഷായോസ്മാൽ അമുഷ്മാ ച വിഹീയതേ ഭിക്ഷോർധർമ്മശമോഹിംസ തവ ഈക്ഷാവനൗഗസ ഗൃഹീണോഭൂതരക്ഷേജ്യ ദ്വിജസാചാര്യസേവനം ബ്രഹ്മചര്യം തവ ശൗചം സന്തോഷോഭൂതസൗഹൃദം ഗൃഹസ്ഥാപ്യതോ ഗന്ധു സർവേഷാം മതുപാസനം ഇതി മാം യസധർമ്മേണ ഭജൻ നിത്യമനന്യഭാക് സർവഭൂതേഷു മൽഭാവോ മൽഭക്തിം വിന്ദതേ ദൃഢാം ഭക്തോ ഉദ്ധവ അനഭായിന്യ സർവലോകമഹേശ്വരം സർവോത്പത്യപ്യയം ബ്രഹ്മകാരണം ഉപയാദിസ ഇതി സ്വധർമ്മ നിർണീത സത്വോ നിർജ്ഞാതമദ്ഗതി ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാനസമ്പന്നം അചിരാൽ സമുപൈതി മാം വർണ്ണാശ്രമവതാം ധർമ്മം യേഷമാചാരലക്ഷണ സ ഏവമദ്ഭക്തിയുക്തോ നിശ്രേയസകരപര ഏതത്തേ അഭിഹിതം സാധോ ഭഗവാൻ പൃച്ഛതി യച്ഛമാം യഥാ സ്വധർമ്മ സംയുക്തോ ഭക്തോ മാം സമയാത് പരാം. സോ യു കെൻ സീ ദാറ്റ് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഫിനിഷസ് വിത്ത് ദീസ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെൻറ്റ്സ് ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ. കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദർ ദാറ്റ് ഉദ്ധവ വൺ ഹു ഫോളോസ് ദിസ് വർണ്ണാശ്രമധർമ്മം eventually he will develop bhakti, he will develop bhakti, he mentions there. And after saying that, he says here, and that is possible that in the last chapter, after talking about varnashrama dharmam, Krishna is entering in this 19th chapter into the process of knowledge. So here, remember this, that knowledge means not the knowledge what we cultivate in this world. Knowledge means actually the swarupam of the soul. That is knowledge. The swarupam of the soul. Remember yesterday we discussed swarupam and swabhavam. Swarupam is the nature of the identity of the soul. Identity of the soul. Or if you want to address the soul in any way, the best way to address the soul is knowledge. Jnanam. Satyam jnanam anandam brahma. Jnanam is the nature of it. So that jnanam is the chit shakti. That is the same as chit shakti. Different words are used at different places. So the soul, the swarupam of the soul is jnanam. So therefore acharyas mentions this. When we wake up in the morning, first thing is that we should meditate on this knowledge. Meditate on the knowledge itself. And that's a shastram. Normally what people do is when they get up in the morning, they ask for coffee or the newspaper and they begin their day with that, isn't it? But one who is serious about spiritual life, while waking up in the morning itself, first thing he should reflect on is this knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. It's mentioned as Pradasmarana Stotram, how one should get up in the morning. There's few verses which we'll discuss some other time. Pradasmarana Stotram, how one should wake up in the morning, remembrance of the soul. Remembrance of the soul. So here, Pradasmarana Stotram is referring to that. So in the last chapter, we have discussed Varnashrama Dharma. That is the 18th chapter. As an introduction to this 19th chapter. You can see why Krishna has spoken Varnashrama Dharma prior to this knowledge. Through Varnashrama Dharma, Krishna says, you will cultivate bhakti. Through bhakti, what will happen? We will get purified inside. Varnashrama Dharma creates bhakti. Through bhakti, purification happens inside. When there is purification inside, the knowledge will sink in straight away without any difficulty. That is what in the first few verses we'll start looking at it in the 19th chapter. Verse 1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Yo Vidya Shuddha Sambannam Atmavanna Anumanika Maya Matramidam Yatva Jnanam Jamai Sanyasen Jnaninastuhame Veshta Swartho Heduscha Sammada Surgascha Abavargascha Nanya Artho Madhyade Priyaha. ജ്ഞാനവിജ്ഞാന സംസിദ്ധം പദം ശ്രേഷ്ഠം വിദുർ മമ ജ്ഞാനി പ്രിയതമോദോ മേ ജ്ഞാനീനാസോ ഭിവർത്തിമാം തപസ്തീർത്ഥം ജപോദാനം പവിത്രാണിതരാണി ച നാലം കുർവന്തിദാം സിദ്ധിം യാ ജ്ഞാനകലയാ കൃതാം. തൻ తస్మాత్ జ్ఞానేన సహితం జ్ఞాత్వా స్వాత్మానం ఉద్ధవ జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన సంపన్నో భజ మాం భక్తిభావితాం. ఫైవ్ వర్సెస్. సో ఇన్ ద లాస్ట్ చాప్టర్ కృష్ణ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ ఆశ్రమధర్మం అండ్ వర్ణాశ్రమధర్మం, వర్ణధర్మం ఆశ్రమధర్మం. ద పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మం ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ ఈజ్ ఫార్ చిత్తశుద్ధి, ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ ఇన్సైడ్. ఇన్ ది భాగవతం ధర్మం ఈజ్ డిస్కస్డ్, యు రిమెంబర్ ధర్మోస్తు సాక్షాత్ భగవత్ ప్రణీతం. ఇట్ సేస్ ఇట్స్ నేమ్ ధర్మోస్తు సాక్షాత్ భగవత్ ప్రణీతం. దిస్ ఈస్ ద డెఫినేషన్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మం ఇన్ ది భాగవతం. ధర్మం ఈస్ ఎ టాపిక్ దాట్ ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ వెరీ ఆఫన్. ధర్మం ఈస్ డిస్కస్డ్ వెరీ ఆఫన్ ఇన్ మహాభారతం. ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ లెట్ అస్ అండర్స్టాండ్ వాట్ ధర్మం మీన్స్. మహాభారతం సేస్ from beginning to end it is discussion about dharmam. So dharmam is discussed in the Mahabharatam very seriously. The definition in the Bhagavatam is very simple for dharmam. Dharmam stu sakshat bhagavat pranidam nate vidu vishayo nabideva. There is in the sixth canto you will see this when Yamadharma Raja's agents, when they go back to Yamadharmaraja, there is a discussion about dharmam in the Bhagavatam. And there Yamaraja says this, dharmastu sakshal bhagaval pranidam na devidu hrishayo na abideva na siddhamukhya asura manushya kudascha vidhyadara charanadayam. That is the words. Says there, dharmam is a very complicated word, isn't it? Many people try to understand what is dharmam. Dharmam is a very difficult thing to explain also. That is why in the Bhagavatam itself says, dharmam only Krishna knows what is dharmam. Dharmastu sakshal bhagaval pranidam. In other words, whatever rules Krishna has laid out, that is dharmam. Whatever rules Krishna has laid out, that is dharmam. So, dharmastu sakshal bhagavat pranidam. Krishna, what Krishna says, that is dharmam. Nate vidu krishayo nabideva. Nor the, even the sages don't understand, even the demigods also don't understand. Na siddha mukhya asura manushya, nor the siddhas, asuras, manushya, human body, none of them understand. Kutascha vidyadara charanadaya, where is the question of vidyadaras and charanas going to understand dharma? Nobody understands dharma. So dharma, there is no equivalent word in English for dharma, actually, because it's very much a spiritual terminology used only to express this very nature of the constitutional duty, or Prabhupada has translated like that, constitutional nature of the soul, he says. That is dharma, constitutional nature. Yes. So, so Krishna has a sarshal, the Ajari Swamiji says, a sarshal abhidayaha nishrayasa heduhu sadharmaha. That is how Ajari Swami mentions that. He says there, yaha, by which sarshal abhidayaha, it only develops a person. Abhidaya means it is actually elevates him. It elevates him. Nishrayasa heduhu, and it is the cause of all his shrayasa, only in the right direction. Not in the material sense, in the spiritual sense. A shrayas sarshal abhidayaha, which will elevate him and will bring all shreyas. You know the difference between shreyas and prayas, don't you? Prayas means what is pleasing to you at the moment. Shreyas means what is beneficial to you in the long run. That is shreyas. Shreyas and prayas, that difference is there in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Kathopanishad also. Prayas is something what is immediately beneficial. For example, sometimes you can give many examples for that. That you work hard, you make a lot of money, and it is wealthy, you become wealthy, and you feel security in the wealth in a short term. You feel benefited from that. In a short term, you take the benefit of that shelter or the security of the wealth, or the security of the society, or the security of family and things like that. This is all on a short term basis. Therefore, it's called Shreyas, prayas. Shreyas is that you have taken Krishna's shelter
And on a long term, that is what will help, not the prayas. So in the long term, what is beneficial is shreyas.
So, ya sachal abhideha nishreyasa heduhu sadharmaha.
So what is actually elevating you?
Abhideyam. What creates that?
And what is also beneficial in creating shreyas for everyone?
Such a thing is dharmam. That is another definition. So,
I want to be happy in this world. I want to be experience happiness in this world. But for the sake of getting happiness for me, I should not create difficulty for somebody else. That's the principle. For my happiness, I should not create difficulty for somebody else. If that is the case, then it is not dharma.
It's not dharma. Without creating any problem for anyone, and without creating any obstacle in my progress in the spiritual advancement and self-realization, whatever happiness I am entitled in this world, that is included in dharma.
That's included in dharma. These are the factors that is taken into account. Without creating any problem for anyone, without becoming any trouble to anybody else, without creating any problem in my advancement in spiritual life and self-realization, without creating any obstacles in that path, if without doing all that, if I am getting any experience in this world, any happiness in this world, that is allowed.
That is allowed. That is also called dharmam. What is the purpose of that? Want to be happy here, at the same time,
able to engage in activities which are meant for spiritual advancement.
Which are meant for spiritual advancement.
Because happiness is never permanent here. As I discussed yesterday, whenever there is happiness, it will be followed by distress. But our problem is we want only happiness. We don't want distress.
So, unfortunately, material nature or Krishna has not created this world in that way.
Krishna hasn't created this world like that. That fundamental thing we have to first accept it. That Krishna has created like this, that you can take happiness from this world, but then you should be prepared to take distress also. If you don't want distress, Krishna says don't take happiness also from here. That is very straightforward. That is the principle of spiritual life. That you don't take happiness from here, then you don't experience distress also. Distress won't come. Happiness and distress is like that, dvandvam. They call it as dvandvam, isn't it? Dvandvam. And that rule applies even when Krishna comes here. Or Ramchandra comes here, the rule apply. That's simple. It's like that. You can see Ramayana, you can see Bhagavatam. Same thing happens. They also had to spend some time here, isn't it? In this world, when they came. When Krishna came, he also had to go through different kinds of... Okay, Krishna may not have experienced the distress because he is Chit Shakti himself. But the rule doesn't change. Right from the appearance started problems. Krishna's appearance, isn't it? Father had to take him all the way to Gokulam from the prison. Like once what happened was, I don't know whether you have heard about him. There was a great personality from Maharashtra, Vinoba Bhave. Some people will know about him, who knows the background. Vinoba Bhave, yeah. He used to speak Bhagavad Gita very well. He had a lot of realizations. He spent a lot of time with Mahatma Gandhi and all that. He used to go to the prisons and talk to the prisoners there about Bhagavad Gita. Because many times prisoners were put in some desperate situation, so he used to speak to them. So somebody asked him, why you take so much interest in these prisons? They are prisoners anyway. Let them stay there. Why you go and talk to them? His answer was, Krishna himself appeared in the prison, he says. So, what's wrong in talking to them about to the prisoners? That's what his answer to that was. So, it's not that when one understands Krishna consciousness properly, this prisoners and all his relationship with the world, we have our standards, we have made the decision, somebody inside the prison, somebody outside the prison, And when the prison is full, then we stop sending people into the prison, isn't it? So it's all doesn't mean much anyway.
So when Ramachandra appeared, Krishna appeared also, Sukham and Dukham was always there. Sukham and Dukham was always there. If there is a good time, there will be a bad time as well. So this contrast will always be there, and that is addressed as Dvandvam. You cannot take only one out of the two. Only one out of the two. Therefore, when we have the strength to experience happiness in this world, and we have to, when happiness comes in this world, you don't have to reject it at the same time. What Krishna is saying here is that you have to live a life in such a way that there is no reactions that comes from that. And if the reactions comes, Krishna says, if you follow the path of dharma, it will not create problem for you. That means, when sukham comes in life, if you are still staying in the path of dharma, when distress comes from that, you won't be disturbed over it. And that track, what Krishna has put forth, is that called dharma. If you live in that track, within that track. And it is that track, Varnashrama dharma has come. Varnashrama dharma has come from that. Brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, all these things, the sages have created this. Varnashrama dharma, the sages have created that. So here, the reason is, it's a very difficult thing. Because if you tell someone, don't desire anything, don't desire anything, that's not going to work, isn't it? That's not going to work. Because, similarly, you don't have to tell someone to desire for something. Desire will naturally come. That is the very nature, because so long as we have vasanas inside, based on the vasana, some desires will develop inside. So, therefore, nobody needs to be advised to desire anything, and desiring is by nature in everyone, according to the vasana. And to tell him not to desire is also useless. It's also useless. So, suppose you tell someone, you should not get any more desires. Will they not come anymore? Will that happen? Well, it will definitely come. Because that desires are due to the association with the modes of material nature. Prakriti. That is prakriti. So, all that, if you are living within the track of dharma, within a track of dharma, and as much as possible control that desires, and not go out of that track, and without causing any obstacles in your path of self-realization, and even after experiencing it a little bit, accepting that as an after effect of that happiness, some distress will come. And action-reaction will not happen straight away. But therefore, after you have experienced happiness for a while, you will get distress. You will get distress. So therefore, in order to create that vivekam, vivekam means that intelligence in a human society, that means after the effect of any happiness, there will be distress. And if he comes to know about that, he will know that, he will come to know, what will happen is, he will come to know one day that happiness and distress is not the goal of life. That will be the next stage. First thing, he experiences happiness within the track of dharma. While experiencing that happiness in the track of dharma, he will get the reaction of distress will come. Distress will follow. Immediately it may not happen, may take some time. But nobody's life is always going up, like in the curve going up, all like a rocket. It's always up and down, up and down, up and down. Anybody you take it, nobody will say that always it's been flying. So, the same thing here. Therefore, dvandvam is there. Duality is there. Dvandvam is there. Sukham, dukham. What Krishna's point is that you experience sukham in this world. It will come. Naturally, it will come. Because desires are there, it will come. Because the desires are there. When sukham comes, happiness comes,
If you stay within the track of dharma, varnashrama dharma, Krishna is talking about varnashrama dharma, what will happen is that when dukkham comes, you will not fall out of the track. You stay within the track still. If you stay within that track, Krishna is saying here, one day you will come to know that this cycle continues all the time. Sukham, dukkham, sukham, dukkham, sukham, dukkham. Happiness, distress, happiness, distress, happiness, distress. When this cycle repeats, after a certain period of time, you will get to know that this experiencing happiness, distress is not the goal of life. Goal of life is something different than all these things. That is self-realization. Goal is self-realization. So, that beyond this happiness and distress, there is what Krishna addresses as Shandi. Or Vishrandi, it is addressed as Janmam Mrityujara Vyadi Vishrandi Dayini. Vishrandi Dayini. That Vishrandi, that Shandi beyond this happiness and distress is the goal. Is the goal. So, taking birth, death, and old age, disease, happiness, distress, all these things, eventually he will get fed up of all these things. And he will develop a desire inside to develop that taste of Shanti, peace inside. All Upanishads mantram you will see this, Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Shanti is the goal, not this happiness and distress. Happiness and distress will come and go one after the other. So, and when that state comes to desiring for that Shandi, that state is what is called Brahma Jitnyasa. You heard this word, no? Brahma Jitnyasa. Adhado Brahma Jitnyasa. It says, Jivasya Tattva Jitnyasa. So, you can see when spiritual life becomes serious, only when that desire for Shandi comes in a person, he can say that he has got Brahma Jitnyasa. Brahma Jitnyasa. It's called Brahma Jitnyasa. So therefore, the first sutram in the Brahma Sutram is Athado Brahma Jitnyasa. So it's only after all this that you have experienced happiness, you've experienced distress, and cycle has repeated for a long period of time, and then you've started to realize that, is this all life about? Started thinking. That life is all, is it all this about? If you have gone through this cycle, then you will stay in spiritual life. Seriously. But if you have not gone through these cycles, what will happen is, say you preach to someone on the street and made him a... sometimes it will only last for a few days, after that he'll be gone. It won't stay. Unfortunately, that is the way spiritual life works. We all sing about it, isn't it, all the time, we have to change the whole world. Unfortunately, it's not so simple. That this cycle has to go through in a person's life, and then some people it will happen very early, that realization will come. What's all this nonsense, happiness, money, wealth, enjoyment, I've done enough of it, nothing much coming out of it. And some people it takes a long time to come to that realization. That's only the differences. Anyway, so that is what is called Brahma Jitnyasa. Brahma Jitnyasa. So what Krishna, so Varnashrama Dharma's importance you can see. Why Varnashrama Dharma is important? For this reason only, that you stay within Dharma. Once you stay within Dharma, it helps, because Varnashrama Dharma will create a situation that unnecessary desires will not be created. Desire will be there. But unnecessary, continuously increasing desires all the time in life, that will be restricted, curtailed by Varnashrama Dharma. Due to the way Varnashrama Dharma is structured, that is the advantage from Varnashrama Dharma. And not only that, what happens is that desires, even if they come within Varnashrama Dharma, it is easier to keep them under control. Keep them under control. Whereas if you throw the whole life open to people, to enjoy life, make money, and simply absorb in exploitation of the material nature, he will never have any peace in life. It's not possible, isn't it? So it is wide open. You can do anything you want to make money, and then the whole life will be centered around this one principle of making money and enjoying life. So Varnashrama Dharma restricts all that and puts you in a track so that you don't go. The rishis have given us this principle that the sages are telling us that you live within this framework. By living that way, what will happen is life will become very simple. Simple living and high thinking, as we say. It will become simple, and at the same time the advantage is that you will not step out of dharma. In other words, desires are restricted, curtailed all the time, and whatever desires are there which cannot be taken away, it is allowed to function in such a way that you do not step out of dharma, out of dharma principle. And when the distress comes also, you will be able to deal with it without any serious repercussions in life. This is all the advantage of that Varnashrama Dharma. And practically what will happen is, we will develop that power of discrimination. What is that power of discrimination? You will start seeing that all this happiness what we are after in this life, what we are getting from that is very, very limited. And quite often, after every happiness, there is distress to follow. And when the distress comes, you also realize it, that this happiness, distress, business is itself is a botheration. It itself is not worthwhile pursuing that. All this understanding has to develop inside a person. Only at that point you start accepting that there is a higher principle in life, higher purpose in life of self-realization, and your attention turns towards that shanti state, peaceful state, where you can practice spiritual life and develop that shanti inside. And that state is called Brahmajijnyasa. Brahmajijnyasa. In the Bhagavadam, it is mentioned also, Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa Nartho Yas Cheha Karam Abhi. It is in the Bhagavadam, if you look into the second chapter, in the first canto, Suda Goswami mentions this to whom? To Shaunagarishi. What does he say? He says to Shaunagarishi that the Shaunagarishi says to him, Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa Nartho Yas Cheha Karam Abhi. He says, that Jivasya Tattva Jijnyasa, that life is meant for this, for what? For Tattva Jijnyasa, he says there. If you look into the second chapter, he says that dharmasya bhavargasya na artho arthayo bhagalpade arthasya dharma arthas nartasya dharmai gandasya kamo labhaya hispradam kamasya indriya predi labho jivedayavada jivasya tattva jijnyasa nartho yascheha karma bhi. Sudha Goswami says there, dharmasya abhavargasya artho arthayo bhagalpade, that dharma means this dharmam, the Varnashram dharmam, what Krishna addresses here, dharmasya abhavargasya, dharmam is meant for abhavargam, abhavargasya, na artho arthayo bhagalpade, not for, dharmam is not for making money, dharmam is not for making money, arthayo bhagalpade, arthasya dharmai gandasya kamo labhaya smrita. If you use dharmam and acquire wealth and enjoy your senses, kamo labhaya hismrita, what is the profit from that? He's asking. What is the profit there? Kamasya indriya preeti. If you have desires, it will be indriya preeti, sense gratification. Labho jiveta yavada, what will you gain from such a life? So you can see that how important it is dharmam. Dharmasya abhavargasya arthurthayo bhagalpade arthasya dharmai gandasya kamo labhaya hisprada kamasya indriya preeti labho jiveda yavada. What did you gain from such a life? Jivasya tattva jijnyasa. Tattva jijnyasa is jivasya. Jiva has only one activity expected from him, from the Jiva. What is that? Tattva Jijnyasa. Na atho yas cheha karma bhi. Not making money or engaging in karma. Na atho yas cheha karma bhi. All this is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't give any attention to any of these things, what is spoken there. We make our own agenda and says we are all following Bhagavatam. When these things are spoken, you have to remember thousands of sages who are present in Naimisharanyam, they have given up all the karma and they are sitting there to listen Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sudha Goswami comes and Shaunaka Maharshi asks them this question, and it is answer to that Sudha Goswami begins his conversation. That's where he is saying this. After paying his respects to Sukadeva Goswami, Sudha Goswami begins by talking about these things first. And that's where he mentioned here, Vasudeve Bhagavadi Bhakti Yoga Prayojida Janayadi Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Jayada Haidugam. He says here, Vasudeve Bhagavadi, if Krishna, if one develops bhakti towards Krishna, Bhakti Yoga Prayojida, that is the benefit of Bhakti Yoga means, Janayadi Ashu Vairagyam, it will create vairagyam, and what else? Jnanam chayada haidugam, also develop spiritual knowledge, self-realization in other words. So here you can see in the Bhagavatam, that soul, self-realization is addressed as jnanam. Jnanam is the word used there, isn't it? Jnanam is the word used as the truth. The truth is addressed as jnanam. And that is what Krishna is going to discuss in this 19th chapter. So, then, Srimad Bhagavatam is mentions these things with the understanding that sages given us this Vishandi Dhayini. So this discipline, dharmam, varnashram dharmam is necessary, and it gives you the opportunity to be engaged in dharmam because it gives you the opportunity for self-realization. So, therefore, in our social life, it brought a control, curtailed everything and brought some control in that. And it is because of this only, in the modern society, they don't like Dharma Shastra, because they don't want any control. That is the problem. Then, when we talk about Varnashrama Dharmam, restrictions, discipline, control and everything, they don't like it. Because they say, what kind of shastram is this? You don't allow us to enjoy anything. There will be the answer to you. If you say anything to them that all these restrictions are good, they will say, what is the good? What is the benefit from that? Because they don't think anything beyond their temporary sense enjoyment. There's nothing beyond than that in their agenda, in their calculations. Whereas for a spiritual person who wants to advance on the spiritual path, for him all this is important. These are values for him because this is what will help him to take the attention from the world towards the soul. So example, therefore they don't like it. And because these restrictions say don't do it, don't do this, don't do that. So many restrictions, isn't it, in life. Don't watch the television. Don't go for the movies. Don't go to the restaurant and eat. Apart from the four regulatory principles. When you put all don't, nobody wants this. What kind of spiritual life is this? They want a spiritual life where everything is on their terms. What they want to do, everything should be allowed. That's what they want. Don't watch this, don't do this. It's like a child, a small child, 1 or 2 years old. So, one day somebody asks a child, what's your name? Child hasn't developed that intelligence. It's a very small child. All what he has heard, the child has heard, was his parents always telling him, don't do this, don't do this. So when somebody asked him, what's your name? He said, my name is Don't, he says. Because he heard this don't so many times. Every time they keep telling him don't. So eventually he started thinking his name is Don't. So that's what will happen. And the society is like that, isn't it? Society doesn't want this don't business. Don't do this, don't do that. They want everything relaxed. And we say, oh, Bhakti Yogam, no control, everything is free, you can do what you want. Bhakti Yoga. Easiest process. You can live earlier life the way you want it and practice Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga doesn't work like that. That's a different kind of Bhakti Yoga. What they are creating, others are creating like that. That's not Bhakti Yoga. Great devotees, if you look, how much they were disciplined, their nishtha, their anushtanam, their upasana. If you see all those great devotees, then you will know what is bhakti. Otherwise, you won't understand what is bhakti. When there is no restrictions, the and what will happen is, after a period of time, you will keep relaxing the rule all the time. Keep relaxation of everything. Everything will get relaxed in course of time. Everything will go, everything will be acceptable in the process of bhakti. That's what will happen. That's what will happen. It doesn't take very long to make that concessions will happen very easily. So here, Krishna mentions here that this, while this example is given, you have to remember, we are also children from the spiritual side. From the spiritual point of view, we are also children. In the sense that our hairs have gone grey and bald, everything. But we are addressed by the acharyas in that way. They are saying like this, that that balaha, we are all addressed as balaha. Natu stanam dvayaha. Only thing is, we are not drinking the breast milk anymore. That's only how much we have grown up in life. So, in other words, Acharya Swami says, refers to us that we are children who have stopped drinking the breast milk. That's all. That's how much we have grown. Indeed. Do you understand what I'm saying? That there is no idea about spiritual life or the goal of life, except want to make a lot of money and enjoy life and create a lot of trouble for everyone, fight, kill each other and go from here. So they are saying to us, you are not much different than a grown-up. By bodily you have grown a lot. You got your hair grey and bald head, but otherwise balaha, you are children. That's how they say about us. Why? We ourselves don't know what is good for us. Ourselves don't know what. So, therefore, Vedavyasa Maharshi says this in the Mahabharatam in a much nicer way. What he says there, he said, you hand over nectar to them, they will throw it away and they will drink poison. So, Amrutam Parityajya Visham Pibandi, he says. Amrutam Parityajya, Amrutam is nectar. You hands over nectar to someone, he throws it away, the pot of nectar, and he drinks poison. Dharma prasangad abhinacharandi. Dharma prasangad abhinacharandi. Pabam prayatnena samacharandi. Ascharya medadhi manishya loke. Amrutam parityajya visham pibandi. This is a verse in the Mahabharatam. Because you know, Mahabharatam is all about dharmam, isn't it? Mahabharatam is reference to dharmam. Srimad Bhagavatam came after that. But Mahabharatam is all speaking, talking about dharmam. And there he says here that Vedavyasa Maharshi refers about our society, human society, and says that Ascharya Medadhi Manushya Loke. Manushya Loke means human world, in the human species. What a greatest wonder this is, he says. Ascharya Medadhi Manushya Loke. Why? Dharma Prasangad Abhina Acharandi. If you talk to them about dharmam, they don't want to listen to it, about dharmam. On the other hand, papam prayatnena samacharandi. They'll go and do a lot of things and create a lot of sinful activities and they will accumulate a lot of sinful reactions from that. Papam prayatnena samacharandi. Then, just like he says, amrutam parityajya visham vibandi. They throw away amrutam, nectar, given to them and they'll drink the poison. This is the, and Vedavyasa is lamenting about us. And this is what forced him to write Mahabharatam. In Mahabharatam beginning he mentions this. What prompted him to write Mahabharatam? That human beings don't want to rule any regulations, rules and regulations. No discipline. They don't want anything. What they want is a freedom to enjoy. That's all. So he says like this that they don't understand dharma prasanga abhina acharandi. If you talk to them about dharmam, nobody wants to follow any dharmam. And papam prayatnena samacharandi, they are willing to do any sinful activity and acquire sinful reactions from that. They have no problem at all. Ashcharyam edadhi manushya loke. What an amazing world is this human world, this human species. Amrutam bharitya visham pibandi. So it is Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress. Vedavyasa Maharshi's distress. So both hands up in the air, he is shouting this to us. Take the shelter of dharma. Urdhu bahu, he says. And he is crying, please take the shelter of dharma. Nobody is listening to it. Dharma arthaschaka amascham. Dharma arthaschaka amascham. Dharmam they are willing to perform to acquire wealth and to engage in sense enjoyment, sense gratification. So, if you tell them that you can acquire wealth and enjoy life also, but keep dharmam in everything. Dharmam is the basis or the foundation of everything. You know what we call as purushartham. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham, isn't it? Religious development, so religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Out of these four, you have noticed that religiosity is the first one. Why is it like that? The principle is, these things are called purushartham. Purushartham means a purpose for which one should live in this world. The first one itself, they mentions that dharmam. Dharmam, artham, kamam, moksham. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, liberation. Keeping dharmam as the foundation, you can engage in economic development. Keeping dharmam as the basis, you can have sense gratification. That is the principle. Dharmam should be always the controlling factor. Dharmam should control everything. Your economic development should be under the control of dharmam. Your sense gratification should be within the framework of dharmam. If you do all these things, if these three things are followed very strictly, the last one, moksham, Krishna is bound to offer it to you without asking for it. This is the principle behind this 25% dharmam, 25% artham, 25% kamam and 25% moksham. So originally that is the principle. If a society which follows varnashram dharmam rigidly and who has developed a life pattern based on dharmam, artham, economic development based on dharmam, sense gratification based on dharmam, he by all means he gets qualified for liberation very soon. So that is the way sages have laid out. The rishis have given us this principle. So nobody wants to listen to that. So dharma kim na sevyete. Duryodhana mentioned this to first. Duryodhana said this. Duryodhana told Vedavyas Maharshi like this, that whatever you are telling me, I am able to understand. Duryodhana says this. I am able to understand, but I am not able to do it, he says. Duryodhana says this. He says, Duryodhana is speaking on behalf of us, actually. He is taking our advocate, is Duryodhana. Duryodhana says, it's all fine, but it's not possible to follow, he says. So practically like we say, isn't it? We also say the same thing. So Duryodhana is also repeating the same thing. Duryodhana says to him, Janami dharmam najame pravurti. He says, I know what you're saying. It's all correct. Perfect. Whatever you're saying is true, but I can't act like that. Janami adharmam najame nivurti, he says. I know what's not correct, but I'm not able to get out of it. So what do you say to him? Just like father, like son, isn't it? The Dhrashta also said the same thing. Duryodhana also says the same thing. Janami adharmam najame nivurti. Janami dharmam najame pravurti, he says. I'm not able to do it. I know what is dharmam, but I'm not able to do it. Kinabi devena hridisthidena kanabi yukto tatha karomi. So, kinabi devena hridisthidena. Who is sitting inside me, Duryodhana says, who is sitting inside, he is dictating to me something to do and I am doing that, he says. Kinabi devena hridisthidena, who is situated within my heart, he is dictating to me what I should do and I am doing that. Yathabi yukto tatha karomi. Whatever he says, I have to do it. What choice have I got? He said this to Vedavyas. Vedavyas was trying to talk to him, not to act in a way which was against, completely against the principles of dharmam. So Duryodhana's version is like that. He says, I can't do anything about it. He says, all I can do is whatever he is telling me from inside. So Varnashrama Dharmam, the purpose of all this is Varnashrama Dharmam and all other dharmam. In the Mahabharata is full of dharmam, isn't it? Bhishma Vidamaha speak to Yudhishthira Maharaj after the war, and that is what is the major part of that dharmam spoken in the Mahabharatam. Varnashrama Dharmam, Raja Dharmam, Stri Dharmam, Purusha Dharmam, Kula Dharmam, and Brahmana Dharmam, all sorts of things. Every dharmam, dharmam, dharmam. Continuously talking about that in the Mahabharatam. Purpose of all that to control us. Somehow to control our nature and to create that purification inside, Chitta Shuddhi. That is the goal behind it. So, the general rule, this is important. The general rule is, if you have Chitta Shuddhi inside, purification inside, you will have Brahma Jinyasa. Brahma Jinyasa will be there in a person. That means his attention will turn towards the soul in self-realization. It will happen if there is Chitta Shuddhi in a person. That is the principle behind it. If there is Chitta Shuddhi means purification of heart, of his consciousness, in other words. If it is there in a person, the symptom of that is that he will have Brahma Jinyasa inside. It must happen there in him. So, proof of Chitta Shuddhi in a person, that his attention will go away from the world towards the soul inside, towards the soul inside, and he will start inquiring who I am, self-realization, in other words, a self-inquiry will begin, and this is the and what is my pure identity? These questions will develop in him. This is the conclusion of the sages. Rishis are saying this to us in the Upanishads. So, for example, a person may be a very good person in this world. He may be a very good person in this world. But if he has not developed Brahma Jinyasa in him, Brahma Jinyasa means this inquiry of the truth in him, you can say, from scientifically you can say that because religion is a perfect science. It's not like the other science, what we study in university. Religion is the most perfect science. That the science what you study in the university and all is not perfect. Why it's not perfect? Because today it will say one thing, tomorrow it will say something else. It will change the rule. Just like you remember Einstein's theory. Einstein brought that theory, and now the scientists have come and started saying that that's not a perfect theory. And they have put that in the dustbin. They've already started rejecting that. And if this continues, these very people who have put Einstein's theory in the dustbin, their theory will be put in the dustbin by the next generation in due course. It will happen. Whereas, on the other hand, it won't take very long time. Whereas the science knowledge of the soul, Adhyatma Shastram, the knowledge of the soul is very perfect. Spirituality means perfection. Spirituality means perfection. Because in perfection, there cannot be any imperfection. In perfection, there cannot be any imperfection. And that perfection is only there in the soul, not in the matter. It's not there in the matter. See, matter, because it's changing all the time, and the scientists do not take that as a factor in there. They're trying to establish the law which is for all time to come, and that doesn't happen. That's why several instances science was continuously revised and changed and constantly upgraded, and like the Windows 7 window going on upgrading and changing in the same way science getting upgraded all the time. And at no time you can say this is the perfect law, because perfection is not there in science. It's not possible. The only place where there is perfection is in spirituality, spiritual life. There is perfection. Because anybody who is self-realized, if you listen to them, you will see they all speak the same language. They don't speak something different. Realize the personality. Because once you have touched that, the basis behind everything, the consciousness or awareness of the soul, then their experiences are very much the same. They're very much the same. So it's a law in spiritual science that once you have, even if you may be a good person in this world, but if you have not developed Brahma Jinyasa, that means you are not pure yet. Sometimes people say this, they'll bring forth this argument, I am a good person, why should I hear Bhagavad Gita? Why should I hear Srimad Bhagavatam? I'm a good person, I'm not doing any harm to anyone. Is it not good enough that I don't create any trouble in this world? I go to work, I earn my living, and I live with my family, and we are just trying to survive, we are not causing any problem to anyone, and we don't go and give trouble to anybody, we don't talk bad about anybody, we are all good people. Am I not a good person? They will ask. They don't like it when you tell them that. But the fact is that is it not sufficient if I live like this? And they will say that my inside is all very clean, pure. I don't have anything bad inside. But the reality is, if you are pure inside, there must be a taste for spiritual life. Brahma Jitnyasa must be there. That is the way spiritual life runs. Their point is, from spiritual side, the sages are telling us, rishis are telling us, that if you are pure inside, Chitta Shuddhi is there, Adhyalpam Jinyasa, Brahma Jinyasa must be there along with that. It cannot stay without that. It cannot stay without that. In other words, the Jinyasa for Alpa Vijayaram. Alpa Vijayaram means, for this attention will go away from this world towards the soul, and inquiry will begin, who am I? That inquiry must happen. So, Jivasya Tatya Jitnyasa. That is why in the Bhagavatam, have you noticed what Sudha Goswami said? Jivasya Tatya Jitnyasa. Tatya Jitnyasa belongs to Jiva. Jiva must have Tatya Jitnyasa. Jivasya Tatya Jitnyasa. That, not the mind. He didn't say the mind must have a Tatya Jitnyasa. Jiva must have Tatya Jitnyasa. That's what he is saying there. Jivasya Tatya Jitnyasa, not the mind. How does that work? Because once Sattva Jitnyasa or Brahma Jitnyasa develops in a person, it will start operating from within, from a completely different center. It starts beginning from there. That you won't know it in the beginning. In the beginning, because we are so used to the mind, we are always thinking it's all coming from the mind. And we start wondering sometime, oh, today I'm feeling very good because my mind is not giving me any trouble. I am able to chant the holy name, I am able to read Srimad Bhagavatam, I am engaging in deity worship. On another day, you are thinking that nothing is happening, I am feeling very depressed and completely out of no shanti inside. So all these changes happening, and you are thinking that it's all happening from the mind. You have to remember this, that whenever there is a desire for spiritual life, or whenever there is an enthusiasm to engage in spiritual activity, the point what Krishna is making here is, it is operating from another center. It's operating from another center. And that, how will you know that? Because once it has started, it will not let you stay peacefully in this world. It will not allow you to stay peacefully in this world. And so even if you decide, from now on, I don't want any spiritual life. I will be satisfied with what I am doing in my life. And even if you keep on saying this to him, it won't allow you to be like that. It won't allow you to be like that. So, because already the spark has developed inside, that a desire has built up inside to find out what is the truth. What is the truth? Who I am? And that will start burning inside. And initially it will begin as a small spark, and if you don't act based on that, and if you don't act based on that, that force inside will create situation for you in that direction. Will create situation, and this is the Shastra. This is the Shastra. That means, when this desire has developed inside, as a spark inside,
And if you start ignoring that spark and try to go against that, you will notice that the material nature will arrange a situation in such a way that it will force you back to go back to that spark again. How? It will create a lot of distress in life and force you back to go back to that again. That's that you can try and test yourself how it works. This simply doesn't, it's all not all preaching that does everything. Preaching does very little actually. It's all these things what's going on inside a person that is what changes that person's way of functioning in this world. That means Krishna is saying here that the once that spark has developed inside for spiritual life, if you ignore that spark and if you try to go independently saying that I will act completely on my own, I'm not bothered, why worry about all these things, it will not work. Once it is lit, the fire has been lit inside. What will happen is, if you ignore it and start living your own life independent of all these things, the material nature and your own karma vasana inside will force you to go back to that spark of spiritual life again by some means or the other, by some force or the other. So, and when you have developed that spark inside, that is what in the Shastram calls us mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam is that word which is referring to that, mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means the first intimation of that mumukshatvam will come in inside, not outside. It will come from inside. So, so the first indication will come inside. What is that indication? That a desire will come. I want to realize the truth, the jnanam, the desire for knowledge. And also, I want to know who I am. Who I am. After a lot of experience in this world of happiness and distress and happiness and distress, you come to understand that all this is false. It is not my real identity. Because you can observe certain things. A lot of happiness has come to you, but after a while, you don't give any value to that happiness anymore. You're not getting the same happiness from the same thing anymore. After a while you get bored with it. It's the same thing with the distress also. Krishna has created in such a way, lot of distress comes, it'll give you some trouble for some time. After a while you don't take notice of it anymore. You are willing to live with it. It's not disturbing you anymore like the way it did in the first day. Just like sometimes when separation happens in life, from some close members in the family, or some serious illness comes in life, or some serious problems in business or work, something happens. Initially you will get a shock, but after a while you get used to it, you will accept it. And that acceptance inside of happiness or distress shows to the point that eventually there is, it has an impact on you in a way, probably it will be in a positive way. It will be in a positive direction. So, so I need to find out who I am and I need to know that knowledge. So, this will happen who have the culture of knowledge, jnana margam, it will come in the process of knowledge. Who have the culture of bhakti, it will come in the process of bhakti. That's all it is. Those who have got the, this is all from the previous life. It's not straight away from this life everything has started. It's wrong to think like that. That everything has started today, right now in this world, after we are born and we come to take a special life. No, it's all begun long ago. Those who have got that culture of knowledge from previous life, they will be attracted towards the jnana marga. Those who have got the culture of devotion in their bhakti, they will be attracted to the bhakti marga. This is how that happens. You can see sometimes people, some people are attracted to Jnana Margam very much. Some people are very attracted to Bhakti Margam. You can't say anything about it. Now, we in our foolishness will go and tell them, look, you are bogus. You are a Mayavadi, you are this, you are nonsense. You don't accept the authority of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll start banging on him. And that will, what he will do, one day he will leave us and go. He don't want to see us anymore. Similarly, we will tell the devotee also, look, he is very sentimental, he is very attached to his
worship and the kirtan and music and prasadam and all that, he doesn't have any idea about spiritual life. The other way also it flows. So what it is those who have that inclination, that samskaram in them from jnanamargam, they will follow that process, they will pull them in that direction. And those who have that culture of bhakti margam, it will be pulled in that direction. You can observe this all the time in this world. Majority of the people will be attracted to one of these processes, jnanamargam or karma margam. People who are very thoughtful, Krishna says that in the next chapter, that's what is being discussed. Krishna says that na narvinno na adisatta bhakti yogosya siddhidaha. And in the next chapter, if you look, you will see Krishna mentions there how these differences have come in people. In the 20th chapter, if you look, you will see verse number 7 in the chapter 20. Shri Bhagavan Vacham Yogastrayo Maya Prokta Nanam Shreyo Vidhilsaya Jnanam Karmam Cha Bhaktischa Novayo Anyosti Kutrachil Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo Nyasinamiha Karmasu Teshu Anirvinna Chittanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam Yadrachaya Malkadasu Jada Shraddhastu Yapuman Na Nirvinno Nadi Sakto Bhakti Yogosya Siddhidah. In 2-3 verses, Krishna is telling us how this different nature has come in different people. Yogastrayamaya proktam nanam shrayo vidhilsaya. Krishna says to Uddhava, there's only 3 processes in this world. What are they? Jnanam karmam jabaktischa. 3 processes. Krishna says to Uddhava, I have created it like this. These 3 processes are available. Jnanam karmam bhakti. Jnanam karmam jabaktischa. No vayo anyosti kutrachal. There is no other way, he says, except these 3. There is no other way to come back to me. That is Krishna's statement. He says here, except these 3 processes, there is no other way to realize the self. In other words. And then he says, what suits whom? What makes a person jnani or a karma yogi or a devotee? Nirvinnam jnana yogo jnasinam iha karma so. Nirvinnanam jnana yogo. One who has developed excessive detachment from this world, renunciation of this world. In other words, he has come to understand there is nothing in this world worthwhile chasing, pursuing. If he has come to that conclusion in his life, nirvinnanam iha jnana yogo, jnana yogam, for him jnana yogam will work. Nyasinam iha karmasu, he is not attached by karma. He is not attracted by karma at all. Nyasinam iha karmasu teshu anirvanna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam. People are different in this world, isn't it? Those who have no attraction for karma, no attraction for any enjoyment in this world, jnana yogam will work. If you put him as a devotee, he won't have any interest in that. He won't be attracted by that. And then Krishna is saying here, teshu anirvinna chittanam and karma yogastu kaminam. Some people, they want everything in life. They want money, they want happiness, they want wealth, they want position, they want fame, they want followers. If somebody is like that, he should engage in karma yogastu kaminam. Krishna says, because he has desires inside, he should go after karma yogam. Karma yogam is for him. Karma yogam is for him. Those who have got a lot of desires, because through karma yogam he can come to jnanamargam or bhakti margam. Through karma yogam he can come to jnanamargam or bhakti margam. But it should be karma yogam if he executes karma yogam. Then the next one. Yadrachaya malkadhasu malkadhado jada shraddhastuya puman. Accidentally, yadrachaya, by Krishna's arrangement or due to the vasanas inside, somebody got attracted to Krishna consciousness. Yadrachaya malkadhado, and he became very serious about it. Jada shraddhastuya puman. And the speciality with this person is, he is not able to completely give up this world. He wants to live in this world like everybody else. He wants a family life. He wants some money. He wants a certain sense enjoyment. He wants all his prasadam on time.
And he is not willing to give up all that. He's not ready for that. And he also wants spiritual life. And he also knows very well that all these things, what we people are working very hard day and night, ultimately it's all worthless. He knows that. So he is caught up in between situation. He's not a jnani who is completely renounced and detached from everything in this world. He is not a karma yogi who wants to enjoy everything in this world, wants to have everything, possess everything in this world. He is in between state. Such a person, Krishna is saying here, na nirvinno, is not fully detached. Na desakto, not very attached either. Bhakti yogasya siddhidaha. For him, bhakti yogam will work. This is the principle. This is the principle. Bhakti yogasya siddhidaha. Now, just because Krishna has said like this, you shouldn't immediately start thinking that I am a bhakti yogi. I don't have anything to do with jnanam or karmam. Or a jnani should not have nothing to do with karmam or bhakti. These are some trends in us, Krishna is pointing out. That's all it is. The trend in everyone. Everybody needs jnanam. Everybody needs karma yogam. Everybody needs bhakti yogam. It all works together. They are not separate. Even though in Bhagavad Gita we say six chapters jnana yogam, six chapters bhakti yogam, six chapters karma yogam. Bhagavad Gita is one book, it's one philosophy. And all jnanam, karmam, bhakti is all a part of that. You cannot completely disregard karmam or bhakti and say that you are a jnani. Nor you cannot say that I am a bhakta, therefore I don't need jnanam or karmam. Even the way Prabhupada has instituted Ishkan, you can see, it's a mixture of all the three. Jnanam associated with karmam, associated with bhakti. Bhakti, you see, the principle is that Krishna is saying here that if you don't follow this, it is going to cause difficulty. It is going to cause difficulty. Because this is a shastram, this is a science. Those who have got jnana samskaram, that means the process of knowledge, that samskaram, those who have got, that will be in that direction. That means they will be curious to hear shravanam, and they will also be very reflective in their nature, and they will associate with people who have the same nature. This is all jnana samskaram. Those who have got bhakti samskaram, they will be attracted towards kirtanam, and those who have gone and meditation and chanting the holy name, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, these things will be attraction for them. These things will be attraction for them. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things will be attraction. And so this process, this trend, Adhyatma Margam, Adhyatma spiritual principle, first it develops inside. It not develops inside. So, once that develops, when the living jiva develops himself for that, prepares himself for that, then if he does not allow himself to go in that direction, if you have not accepted that call from inside to go in that path of jnanam or karmam or bhakti, then that is what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is called as Krishna's playing flute. That's the flute playing, Krishna's flute playing inside. You remember? When Krishna played the flute, all the gopis came running. Isn't it? It is spoken in that language to explain to us. From a devotee side, he will see Krishna playing the flute and the gopis came to hear Krishna. But actually, Krishna is always playing the flute from within to turn our attention towards Krishna. To turn our attention towards Krishna. And in the Bhagavatam, if you look into that chapter 29, 10th canto, in the 10th canto, you will see this mentions, everything is very hidden in the Bhagavatam. So many things like that. That you will, when you start reading that, you will observe some of the interesting things. Shrutva, where it says, that 29th chapter, it says there, that... that is the beginning of the rasa dance, isn't it? Beginning of rasa dance. It says, నిశమ్య గీతం తదనంగవర్ధనం వ్రజస్త్రియా కృష్ణగృహీతమానసా ఆ జగ్ము అన్యోన్యం అలక్షితోద్యమ సయత్ర కాంతో జవలోలకుండలా. నిశమ్య గీతం తదనంగవర్ధనం అనంగవర్ధనం ప్రజస్త్రియా కృష్ణగృహీత మానసా. దట్ వెన్ రాస డాన్స్ హ్యాపన్స్ కృష్ణ ప్లేడ్ ద ఫ్లూట్ అండ్ గోపీస్ గోట్ ఎక్సైటెడ్ అండ్ కేమ్ రన్నింగ్ టు కృష్ణ. ఫ్రమ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ యాంగిల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫ్రమ్ ఉపనిషత్ సైడ్ దట్ కృష్ణస్ ప్లేయింగ్ ఫ్లూట్ ఈస్ దిస్ కాల్ ఫ్రమ్ ఇన్సైడ్ టు టర్న్ అవర్ అటెన్షన్ టువర్డ్స్ ద సోల్. వ్రజస్త్రియా కృష్ణగృహీత మానసం ఆ జగ్ము అన్యోన్యం అలక్షితోద్యమ. దట్ మ్యూచువలీ దే హ్యాడ్ వన్ గోల్ టు దే హ్యాడ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ గోల్ ఆ జగ్ము అన్యోన్యం అలక్షితోద్యమ సయత్ర కాంతో జవలోలకుండల. శ్రీ గురు గోస్వామి బ్రాట్ దిస్ రాస డాన్స్ ఇన్ టు శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం టు టెల్ అస్ దిస్ మెసేజ్ దట్ స్పిరిచువలీ వన్స్ యు ఆర్ అట్రాక్టెడ్ టు ద గోల్ or once the inquiry has started developing inside about the truth, automatically that will keep growing. You won't be able to stop that. It is the very nature of that spiritual inquiry. It will keep growing. And constantly from inside, Krishna will tell the devotee or the aspirant to take your attention towards the soul. And that is what actually encourages us to stay in the spiritual life. Nothing else. What is attracting us to spiritual life? If there is no call from within, it's not by the external thing. Externally, there is nothing much encouraging in spiritual direction. It is all coming from the inside. This is why I said, Nishagmya Gidam Tadananga Vardhanam Vrajastriya Krishna Grihidama Anasam Ajagmu Anyonyam Alakshido Udhyama Sayatra Gando Javalala Kundalaham. That actually this attraction for the soul is there in everyone. We think that it's only Krishna attracted the gopis, he played the flute. Krishna is always playing the flute within every living entity. Only thing is we don't give any attention to it. That's another thing. But the desire for cultivating spiritual life and turning our attention towards the soul is our very nature. It cannot be rejected. As soon as there is a little bit of chitta shuddhi happens, immediately attention will go towards the soul. It has to happen. That is the principle of spiritual life. Very spiritual life is based on this principle. It's based on this principle. So, when the gopis heard this, the playing of flute of Krishna, immediately they forgotten their body, isn't it? They forgotten their body. Krishna grihita manasa, that all their attention or shraddha was in Krishna. Here, the difference is, jnani will call it as the soul, devotees will call it as Krishna. That's all the difference is. And if you don't accept that call and surrender unto it, what that power will do is, whatever we are holding on to something outside and not giving any attention to that, it will come and it will start giving trouble there. That force inside, if you don't give attention to that and give any notice of it, what will happen is, wherever you have kept your attention, wherever you have put your attention, it will go there and it will smash it down. It will smash that down. It will happen. Who says this? Kapila Maharshi says this in the third canto. We'll come to that. So, Kapila Maharshi says here, tam tam dhunodhi, he says. If you look in the third canto, you will see in the third canto, Kapila Maharshi says this, how he does it. This is the science of the spiritual life, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, if you look in the third canto, chapter 30, second verse. Yam yamartham upadatte dukhena sukhedave tam tam tunodhi bhagavan uman shochadiyal krute. You know, in third canto, from 25th chapter to 33rd chapter, 8 chapters, is what is known as Kapilam. Kapila Maharshi, Krishna's another incarnation, spoke about the science of bhakti in the third canto, which was talked about by Vidura when he was talking to Maitreya Maharshi.
In that conversation, Kapila Maharshi, Prabhupada created that special book, Teachings of Lord Kapila, separately for that. Whatever we are discussing in the Ekadasha Skandham, it comes in the third canto also, to a large extent. And this Kapila Maharshi's teachings is one of the most interesting topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kapilam, it's called Kapilam, because it comes from Kapila Maharshi. So in Kapilam, it is in the 30th chapter, from 25th to 33, it is all Kapilam. Kapila Maharshi teaching his mother, Devahuti Devi, about the science of self-realization. That is Kapilam. So in that Kapilam, Kapila Maharshi says here to Devahuti Devi, my dear mother, Devahuti is his mother, says to Devahuti Devi, my dear mother, yam yamartha upadathe, dukhena sukhedave, tam tam dhunodi bhagavan, puman shochadiyal krite. What he says here, if you are not giving attention to him, he'll go and smash it down wherever your attention is. Because it is because your attention is somewhere else that you are not giving attention to Krishna, Krishna's call or spiritual call. You are ignoring that, that's what he will do. So in our external life, in our material life, wherever we are attached and which stops us turning towards spiritual life, Krishna will come and take that away. Krishna will come and take it away. And sometimes it will be very cruel also. In a very cruel way it will be done. But whatever it may be, that same force which is within, it will create a space in our life. It will create a space in our life, and in order that you can turn into the spiritual direction. Turn into the spiritual direction. Even if you don't allow for that, it will create that space in life. It will create that space in life. These things one looks into one's own life, you will observe these things happening. These are the subtle side of the spiritual life. How spirituality develops in a person. It's not all due to preaching or distributing book. It didn't happen like that. That's our perception, isn't it? But Kapila Maharshi and Krishna is saying to us that even that, once that desire has come inside, automatically your attention will turn towards the soul. And if you start ignoring that, tam tam dhunodhi, wherever your attention has gone, Krishna will go and smash that down. Smash that down. So, then what will it do? That force will pull us very strongly and make us with that force as a part of that. And only after that it will leave us. It will leave us. And that force which forces us to become spiritual like that is called Krishna's mercy. Kripa. The word Kripa in Shastram is that. So many, you look into any devotee's life, great devotees I'm saying, this is their history. Sundaramurti's history you can read, Sundaramurti Swamiji, how he became a devotee. Lord Shiva's devotee he was, he won't allow him. All plans were breaking up, everything, till he surrendered. So you can see, when Krishna's mercy comes, this is how it comes. All our plan making will stop and forced to surrender. And that's only way surrender will happen. This is another principle. That we think that, oh, we should tell everybody in the world, surrender to Krishna. Surrender to your Guru Maharaj, surrender to this, surrender to that. Nobody is going to surrender. Nobody surrenders like that. At least till now in the history, nobody has surrendered by someone telling him to surrender. It will not happen, it's not possible also. Surrender will happen in this way. This is that process how it happens. When our attachment is elsewhere, all the great devotees you can take and look at their life. Appar, Sambandar, Sundararar, Manikavashakar, all of them, great devotees of Lord Shiva. Look into their life, how they were forced by Shiva to surrender. And same thing with Alvars also. They all had to walk through this fire before Krishna forced them. Only thing is, they all received Krishna's mercy in a very heavy dose, so they could surrender very easily. We are not getting that, so we are here still. We are not getting it, so we are still here. So that is all the differences. Is people are thinking that due to their sadhana everything has happened. It's not due to sadhana. It's only when Krishna put you on the spot. Take Prabhupada's life also. Same way it happened, is it not? It all happens in that way. There is a way it happens in spiritual life. And when Krishna's mercy comes, this is how that mercy comes. Mercy comes in this way. And that is why it is called, and it is that same mercy that push-pull Parikshit also. The same mercy that has pulled Parikshit also. Parikshit was not an ordinary person. He was an emperor. Very comfortable life, isn't it? Had everything what he wanted. How could he suddenly change like this? That is mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. Okay, there are so many options you can think about. He was cursed by the Brahmana boy to leave his body in 7 days' time. As an emperor, Parikshit could have gone to his father and told him to reverse that curse. It is possible to do all that. They had the power to do it. Brahmana boy's father, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And if father has instructed the child who cursed him to withdraw the curse, he could do it. All that is possible. It's not that something, because somebody who could curse and create something to happen like that, he had the same ability to retract also in the same way. That is the way these things work. But it didn't happen. That is Krishna's mercy. That's Krishna. As soon as this happened, Parikshit started thinking, I've got 7 days' time left. What should I do? And that is what has happened to Parikshit. So, suppose, when this happened to Parikshit, and suppose we were there as his subjects, living there, with Parikshit's time. You can't say that you are not there, you could have been there. Because we have gone, changed a lot of bodies and we are back here now like this. We were there probably like monkeys when Ramchandra was there. In some form we were there, but you may not accept or not, that's another thing. But some body in somewhere we may have been existing, who knows. But what I'm saying is, suppose during when Parikshit was cursed, and this happened to Parikshit, and suppose we were there at that time with Parikshit, what would we have said? What would we have said? We would have said, look at this. He was a king. See what has happened. We hear that Krishna has protected him while he was within the womb. But he has seen Krishna while he was in the womb. But look at him. He has got this fate to be bitten by a snake and to die. This is what we will say about Parikshit. We won't say anything else. We'll simply make a remark about Parikshit in that way. And we will judge Parikshit saying that his life is a total failure. We will say. We will say like that. Because we are only used to seeing people's success in life. And we consider their successes if he has made a lot of money and if he has lived very well in this world, we consider that his life is success. Parikshit, look at him. They are saying that he has seen Krishna in the womb and now look at his fate, he is going to die and the snake is going to bite him and die and go from this world. What kind of death is that? We will judge in this way about Parikshit. That will be the remark that will come from us. Ordinary people will make remarks in that way. So, and we will even say that his life was a failure. Parikshit's life was a failure. That's what we will say, isn't it? So, on the other hand, suppose somebody lives very well in this world, wife, children, grandchildren, big house, big car, and many holidays in a year, we will say, look at this, Krishna is so merciful to him. This will be our comment on that, isn't it? See, so merciful to him, he's got everything what he needs in life. Krishna is so kind to him, and no stress at all. So, but what Krishna says here is that I don't bless people in that way. That is Krishna's point. Krishna says, I don't bless anybody in that way. So, in other words, what Krishna says here is that Whenever I want to bless someone, I don't bless that, oh, he should win the lottery. That's not how I bless him. If you look into the 10th canto, there's a verse about that while talking about the Vrikasura story. Vrikasura, Parikshit Maharaj asked a question to Sukadeva Goswami. The question was, in the 10th canto, if you look into the 89th chapter, and that the question was that story comes in the 89th, I think. Parikshit Maharaj asked a question that generally he said that Shiva Shakti Yudha Shashwa Trilingo Gunasamrada Vaigariya Sejasascha Tamasascheti Ham Tritha Tadu Vigara Bhavan Shodashami Ishu Kanchana Upadavan Vibhudinam Sarvasam Ashnude Gadim Harirhi Sukadeva Goswami saying Harirhi Nirguna Sakshal Purusha Prakrde Para Sa Sarvadrik Ubadrashta Tambajan Nirguno Bhave Nivrteshu Ashwamedheshu Raja Yushmat Pidamaha Shrunuan Bhagavad Odharmam Aprachadidam Achyudam Sahaha Bhagavam Stasmai Prida Shishrushave Prabhu Nurnam Nishraya Sarthaya Yo Avadirnu Yadokule. The question what the king was asking was that generally people who have worshipping Lord Shiva, they all seem to be well off in life. And those who are worshipping Krishna, they all seem to become poor at the end. Although Krishna is the husband of Lakshmi, or Vishnu is husband of Lakshmi, and she is the wealthiest person. But you worship Krishna or Vishnu and you become poor at the end. Whereas Shiva is very, very poor, isn't it? He lives in the cemetery, or he has always matted hair. He lives a very austere life. Very, very austere life. His clothes, his dress and his lifestyle is not very opulent. It's very austere. Those who worship Lord Shiva, they all seem to be opulent in life, enjoying life, and those who are worshipping Vishnu, they all tend to become very poor. Why is this happening in this way? So, answer to that, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Krishna says, Yasyaham anugrahnami harishe taddhanam shanai tadho dhanam tejandyasya Sojanal dukkha dukkhidaha. Yasyaham anugrihnami. When I want to bless someone, what do I do first? Harishe taddhanam shanaihi. Little by little, I'll take away all his wealth. First thing. And then what will happen? Tadho dhanam tejandasya. After he has lost all his wealth, what will happen? Sojanal dukkha dukkhidaha. All, once you lose all your wealth, there will be no swajanam. Nobody wants to know about you, anything. They won't even give you a phone call. They'll say it costs money. So that is the nature of this world. Tadho dhanam tejandasya. All the money is gone, there will be nobody. So-called friends, society and all will only be there as long as there is some money in the hand. Tadho dhanam tejandasya sojanal dukkha dukkhidaha. Sojanal dukkha dukkhidaha. When once all your friends and society abandons you or give up in any interest in you, then you will be fit for Krishna consciousness. That's when you become Krishna conscious actually. This happened when In Prabhupada's case also this happened. And Srila Prabhupada asked, when he was going through a lot of difficult times and distress in life, with business, family life, everything, his own god brother mentioned this verse to Prabhupada. This is why he says, mercy is coming, he said. Krishna's mercy is on its way. It's the indication of that. Tatho dhanam tejandyasya sojanal dukha dukhidaha. And therefore, this is the prior to Krishna's mercy, all these things do happen in life. Do happen in life. Great, great devotees, that is their life. This is how they lived in this world. They have gone through this fire before they. So when you say this to someone, oh, Krishna is going to take away all my money, whatever little that is left in the bank, then you say, hold on. we will probably stay. Already the banks are breaking up, everything is collapsing. And one day when these things can become a reality, that is what Krishna is saying here, that that even if he has got some money with him, Krishna will take it away from him and put him in the street. Throw him in the street. And put him into a lot of trouble. And at the end Krishna will give the mercy. But don't take that this is an absolute rule like this. It doesn't need to happen like this for everybody. We shouldn't think that, oh, that's not how it works. Whenever something is spoken, don't start thinking that, oh, one day I have to lose everything. Only after that I'll become a Krishna conscious. That's not how it works. Because for different people, depending on that person's situation, Krishna will give the medicine. That's the principle. That is the principle. Depending on how attached you are to wealth, depending on how you are attached to the family, depending on how you are attached to anything, if it is becoming a problem in your self-realization, Krishna will hit you there, wherever it's necessary. Not necessary, it has to happen. Suppose there are people living in this world who are not very attached to wealth. If it comes, it's fine. If it doesn't come, doesn't matter. That attitude. For them, taking away the wealth may not be the medicine. May not be the medicine. For him, the attachment will be somewhere else. And that's where it will be a different medicine. So therefore, that is what you have to observe in Bhagavatam. Every devotee, Krishna deals with them in different way. Have you noticed that? Every devotee, Krishna has a different solution to the problem. For Parikshit, this won't work, wealth, because there's so much wealth he has got. Whole planet is under his control. It's not going to work with him. So what did Krishna do? He brought death in front of him and put him in the front. The death. Death, in 7 days' time you're going to die. And brought him to Krishna consciousness seriously. Up to that time he was wandering around killing the animals in the forest. Parikshit was doing that. And to the gopis, what did Krishna do? They completely disturbed their life. Isn't it? That's all the 10th canto is about. 10th canto, if you read, how gopis suffered due to Krishna. On the one hand, their material life was in totally disarray. He won't allow them to store butter, cheese, milk or anything like that. Go and smashes everything. Everything smashed. Smash it down. And they'll go and complain to Yashoda about it. Yashoda will say, my son doesn't do any such thing. He's a very good boy. He says. And they didn't know what to say to her. Because mother won't accept. Because Yashoda hasn't seen anything, what was going on. Yashoda, whenever Yashoda was there, Krishna was always with Yashoda. He hasn't left the house. He's such a nice boy. Whereas all these things were going on at the same time in all the gopis' houses. And they were coming and complaining to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And Krishna was stood there and listening to all the complaints. Very happily he did that, isn't it? So for gopis, in one way. Parikshit in another way. Now look at the wives of the brahmanas. As they came, they brought the prasadam and gave it to Krishna and all the other cowherd boys. Immediately Krishna says to them that go back home now. Straight away. You go home and stay, remain balanced in your life. Serve your husbands and stay there where you are. And everything will be okay. And that is to the wives of the brahmanas. Different instruction. To Arjuna, Krishna says, fight the war. He says, you fight this war. Never give up your karma, and spoke 6 chapters to talking about karma in the whole of Bhagavad Gita. You can see Krishna is saying, Arjuna, take the weapon and fight. Take the weapon and fight. And to Uddhava, Krishna says, even if you get a desire to do karma, never touch karma anymore. You look into Bhagavatam, you will see this. Isn't it? If you look into Bhagavatam, that verse from Krishna to Uddhava, Nadriyet Karma Chodhanam. It means what? Nadriyet Karma Chodhanam means, even if a slight desire develops in the heart to do any kind of karma, never do any karma, he says to Uddhava. The very person who told, who told Arjuna to fight the war, to Uddhava he says, Nadriyed Karma Chodhanam. The Tundu Sarvam Bharityajyam Sneham Sajana Bandushu Maya Veshyamana Samyak Samadrak Vijaraswagam. Then, talking about this in the 10th chapter, I think he says there, Nivrtam Karma Seveda Pravurtam Malparasthyajil Jitnyasayam Sampravurto Nadriyed Karma Chodhanam. Even if a slight desire develops inside, don't do any karma anymore. He says to Jitnyasayam Sampravurto Nadriyed Karma Chodhanam. So, you can see here, Krishna gives a medicine according to the patient. It's not that one rule for everyone. All the 7 billion population in the world has one law. It cannot work like that. Everybody is different, isn't it? So, so same person talking different ways to different people. You may, when you hear this, you may think Krishna has no consistency in what he is saying, isn't it? So to Arjuna he says, never, never you should stay without doing any karma, isn't it? Akarma balahe durbur mahade sangostu akarmani. That word, if you look in the second chapter, karmani va adhigaraste mahabaleshu kadajana. Makarma balahe durbur mahade sangostu akarmani. You have no right to stay without doing any karma. Krishna says that, isn't it? Karmani va adhigaraste. That verse. The 4 karma sutram we talked about in the in that verse. Karmani Vadhigaraste, one sutram. Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana, another sutram. Ma Karma Bhalahe Durbur, third sutram. Made Sangostha Karmani. These are important verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Karmani Vadhigaraste, you got the right to do your karma. Ma Bhaleshu Kadachana, you have no right to expect the results of the karma. Ma Karma Bhalahe Durbur, the karma what you do and the result, that has no connection. We have, this is a great information from the Bhagavad Gita. Normally in this world we think that whenever we do karma, accordingly the result come. Krishna says no, it is not like that. There is no relationship between your karma and the result. Ma karma balahe durbur, ma te sangostu agarmani. You have no right to refrain from work, Krishna says to Arjuna, isn't it? And that's Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Jitnyasayam Sampravurte Nadriyed Karma Chodhanam. Even if a slightest desire comes to do some karma, never do it, he says. So why? Why all these differences? So everybody, Krishna says here, and to Uddhava, to Krishna, to Arjuna, he says, Karmani Vadhigaraste Mahabhaleshu Kadachana Mahakarma Balahe Durbur Mahade Sango Swakarmani. That Krishna, who has told Arjuna like that, is saying to Uddhava, Tundu Sarvam Varityajya, give up everything. Sneham Sajane Vendushu Mai Aveshyamana Samyak Samadrak Vijarasodam. Walk out from here to Badrinath. Walk out of this place, he says to him. You can see the big differences between Arjuna and Uddhava. To Arjuna he said, give up everything. Never give up everything. Nothing you should give up. He said, by giving up alone, you are not going to get anything, he says to Arjuna. And the same person says to Uddhava, Uddhava, don't look back, get out of this place, walk away from here. 2 different instructions. So everybody gets a different treatment. Everybody gets a different treatment. So Krishna's dealings are like that. Difficult to understand. Difficult to understand. So that is why in spiritual life, you cannot put one rule and say, this is for everybody. It is not possible. Everyone in the path of spiritual progress, he will know what is required. That instruction has to come from Krishna from within. Which way to go, which direction to turn. Initially, Krishna will give some help. After a while, depending on the surrender, the instructions will come. This is the principle behind it. Normally, we don't think about all these things very much. You can see in Krishna's dealings with people, Krishna will not accept prasadam from Duryodhana's house. He went to Vidura's house, and Vidura's wife offering he accepted very happily from Vidura's wife. Vilamangalam, when he talks about this, he says that you have your own way of doing things. Vilamangalam says to Krishna, you have your own way of doing things. Nobody understands that. You went to Vidura and accepted food from them. When in the forest, when Pandavas were there with Kunti Devi, Kunti Devi invited Krishna for prasadam, very happily sat down with Kunti Devi and had prasadam. Then when Nanda Maharaj was preparing the feast for Indra, you stopped all that. And then he told Nanda Maharaj you had to worship Govardhana Hill. And that food which was offered to Govardhanam, it is called, not like the normal way a feast is offered, isn't it? It was for Govardhanam it was offered. You went and accepted that without any problem. You were happy to eat Sudama's flat rice. You had no problem eating that. You are very happy to have the breast milk from Yashoda. And while in the forest, when you were sent to the forest from Ayodhya, you accepted from Bharadwaja Maharshi. But Bharadwaja didn't have anything to offer to Krishna at that time. Normally sages in the forest, what do they eat? The roots, the fruits and the leaves, what's available in the forest, isn't it? Ramchandra sat down there and ate everything very happily with Bharadwaja. Then later on, when Krishna met Shabari, Shabari offered her fruits to her. And all those fruits were bitten by Shabari and checked the taste of it and then offered to. Shabari doesn't know anything. She lives in the forest. She is not ruled by the rules of this world, isn't it? She wanted to taste every fruit before giving it to Ramchandra. So she tasted everything and gave it to Ramchandra. Now this is a nice one, I have tasted it. You try it now, he says to Ramchandra. Ramchandra happily ate that. In the Ramayanam you can see those things. Then with the gopis, Krishna has actually, even in the rasa dance, Krishna enjoys the saliva from the mouth of the gopis during his association with them. And the same Krishna, he ate happily the food that was brought by the wives of the brahmanas also. And in the forest, Krishna accepted the food from the wives of the sages. When Ramachandra's pastimes, you will see from the sages, their wives, Krishna has accepted the prasadam from them. So all this is possible. You have done all these things, Vilamangalam says to Krishna. Similarly, this Krishna Granamritam I have written, please accept that also in the same way. For you, what matters is something different. We won't know what that is. What will accept and what you will reject, I don't know. Vilamangalam says to Krishna. That is how he offers that to Krishna. So here you can see that in front of Parikshit, he comes and stands there like death. And what's interesting here is, in front of Parikshit, he comes and stands there in the form of death. And in the front of Parikshit, he comes and stands there in the form of Sukadeva Goswami as the nectar. As the nectar. It is called as Amrutattvam. Amrutattvam means that deathlessness or immortality. That's the word. Immortality. Sukadeva Goswami is standing in front of Parikshit. Krishna is standing in front of Parikshit in the form of Sukadeva Goswami, who is going to give him immortality, isn't it? By the instructions in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he is standing in front of Parikshit in the form of death also. In the form of death also. So, Krishna is only one thing, somehow or the other, we must realize the self. We must realize the self. So, whatever that is necessary, Krishna will make the arrangements for that in course of time. So, what is the reason that Krishna has this insist on that is, what reason is that Krishna does not like to see anything separate from him in any way. Anything separated from him. Because anything who declares separately from Krishna, I am independent, that independence Krishna doesn't like it. Krishna doesn't like it. That is what, if you look in this Bhagavad Gita, you will see a statement, Yani Atmaiva Me Matam, he says there, isn't it? If you look into the Bhagavad Gita, you will see that verse. Yani Tvatmaiva Me Matam, Astida Sahi Yuktaatma, Mameva Uttamam Gadim. You see that verse? Yani Tvatmaiva Me Matam, Astida Sahi Yuktaatma, Mameva Uttamam Gadim. Why does he say like that? Why does Krishna say that? Astida sahi yuktalpa mameva uttamam gadim. If you look into that verse, the verse, I think it is in the Astida sahi yuktalpa 7th chapter. Astida sahi yuktalpa mameva uttamam gadim. 7th chapter, if you look into the 18th verse, we discussed this before. Udara sarvaye vaite yani tvalpaiva me matam astida sahiyukta alma mameva uttamam gadim. Udara sarvaye vaite yani alpaiva me matam. Krishna is saying here Prabhupada is translated as devotees, although it's mentioned as jnani. Why? There is no difference between a jnani and a devotee. He says here, all these devotees are undoubtedly magnanimous souls. But he who is situated in knowledge of me, I consider very verily to dwell in me. Astida sahayuktalma mameva uttamam gadim. Being engaged in my transcendental service, he attains me. Now, here it is referring to a jnani. We can see, udara sarvaye vaide jnani alpaiva me matam. Jnani it is referred to, but Prabhupada has used the word devotee because there is no difference in jnani and a bhakta in that sense. So that's why, udara sarvaye vaide jnani tvalpaiva me matam. Astita jnani tvalpaiva me matam. That is what Krishna is saying. He doesn't like that you are somebody separately from him. He is me, Krishna says. Jnani tvalpaiva me matam. In the translation it says there, but who is situated in all, I consider verily to dwell in me. But exactly if you translate that, Jnani Tvalpaiva Me Matam means he is me. That's what Krishna says. Every Jnani, Krishna says, I am him. That's why how Krishna sees that. Every Jnani is Krishna. Is Krishna himself that. All the great personalities, they are because they are all consciousness-wise, is that Chit Shakti operating in them. Never touched by Maya in any way. So that is why Jnani, what is the Jnani's Leicha? That is what Krishna says in that second verse in this 19th chapter. What we are looking at now. So let's look at that verse also. And 19th verse, chapter if you look, 11:19:2, second verse. Jnani tvalpaiva me matam. Krishna repeats here. Jnani nastuham evesta swartho heduscha sammadaham surgaschai bhavavargascha nanyartho madrade priyaham. Jnani nastuham evesta swartho heduscha sammadaham surgaschai bhavavargascha nanyartho madrade priyaham. He says here that the surgam abhavargam, that means here, Krishna says here, that jnani tvalpaiva me matam. In other words, who is a jnani? Jnani doesn't want heaven, Sorgam, Moksham. Nothing he wants, Sorgam or Moksham. Because he doesn't want anything except me. That is Krishna's point, isn't it? So, in other words, what does that mean? He doesn't want anything except from me. In other words, after what Krishna is saying here is that he does not know anything else except the soul. Except the soul. Once you have come to know what is soul, spirit soul, if you have come to know, you will know that nothing exists outside the soul. That is, that means actually. When you say, from a devotee's language, if you say, you will say, devotee wants only Krishna. What does it mean? The jnani's position is spoken here, that he doesn't want anything in this creation outside the soul, because he knows that only the soul is the reality. That is the point. So nothing outside the soul he is willing to accept. After realizing the soul, nothing outside the soul, he comes to realize that nothing exists outside the soul, and he is a jnani. For him, the very nature of the soul is liberated, always in liberated state. Therefore, he doesn't even ask for liberation. Because he knows if you are situated on the platform of the soul, you are already liberated. So there is no separate desire for liberation within you. In other words, a first-class devotee is a jnani. A first-class devotee is jnani. First-class devotee is jnani. So we'll continue this. On the 18th of December, hopefully we will start again Srimad Bhagavatam, 18th of December, and Bhagavad Gita we'll have now after 15 minutes, and then we'll continue, start again on the 17th of December in Vishnu's house.